Wisconsin is hundreds of miles from any sea or ocean, but a pioneer in the field of deep sea diving was born and raised and even worked here in Wisconsin.
Milwaukee's Max Gene Knoll revolutionized diving techniques and technology and dove extensively in the Great Lakes and around the world. And he was a world record holder.
In December 1937, Knoll dove 420 feet to the bottom of Lake Michigan, shattering the world record for the deepest dive. Here's a clip from a radio broadcast from the boat.
Max Knoll invented this diving suit and went to a record depth to speak on the radio.
You're on the bottom? Well, wait a minute, we'll find the depth. What's the depth there?
420 feet.
420 feet, that's a record, Max.
He said he could have gone to 500 and the ocean bed got in the way.
Knoll wrote a memoir recounting his escapades in diving, but it went unpublished. He died in a car crash in 1960.
For more than 60 years, the document sat in the Milwaukee Public Library archives until now. It's called I Live Underwater, The Thrilling Adventures of a Record-Breaking Diver, Treasure Hunter, and Deep Sea Explorer.
Tamara Thompson is a maritime archaeologist at the Wisconsin Historical Society and a diver herself. She wrote the foreword to the book. Tamara, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I gotta admit, I didn't know about the story of Max Knoll. Amazing story. As a diver yourself, when did you first start learning about Max Knoll?
Oh, it wasn't early. I kind of thought that Cousteau was, you know, the father of scuba diving and nothing happened before. You know, he came into making movies and television shows and that. And then all of a sudden, one of my friends encountered one of the chapters that Max Gene Knoll had written at Milwaukee Public Library. And he passed it on to me. And I leapt into his shoes thinking that, you know, I'm a diver here in Wisconsin. What do I have to contribute? I'm not on one of the coasts. I, you know, won't make important discoveries. And here this person was living about 50 years before me and making all of these important contributions to the sport.
Right. He goes to the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, mm-hmm. MIT, to learn the engineering he needs to make better equipment. Can you talk about the kind of diving he was doing with, at that point, almost 100-year-old principles and a hose attached to everything?
Yeah, he got a hold of a used hard hat diving helmet, so it's called standard dress, and he learned to use that from a fellow student. And they took it in Walden's Pond and went to the bottom on an icy icy afternoon, and that's really what hooked him into this, and he did everything he could to acquire a suit and gear for himself. Now, when he left MIT, his thesis was actually on diving, and he built himself a bathysphere. So it's like a pressurized sphere. He took some time off and he went on a very important expedition called the Seth Parker Expedition into the Caribbean. So he's hired on with the, you know, this kind of adventurists that have a radio program that they broadcast weekly and talk about all of the discoveries they make. And the one thing that they wanted was Max Gene Knoll to come there and to bring this bathysphere.
I hope that diving has changed such that people aren't trying to, your crewmates aren't trying to stab you or one another. This was a thing that happened multiple times, the expeditions that Max goes on.
Yeah, it's not so ruthless today.
Good.
I'm more selective of my buddies, I guess. So there's a wider pool also of divers to select from, but it's not so, you know, macho as it was back in the day.
Now, I mentioned the early diving he's doing is with the hose attached.
Yeah.
And SCUBA, the acronym I know starts with self-contained.
Right.
And a lot of the work that Max and the people he's working with are doing is, hey, how can we dive deep without a hose attached? Can you talk about the sort of experiments they were doing, the sort of innovations they were coming up with?
Yeah, so again, he's surrounding himself with these interesting characters. One guy is John Craig. So John Craig was Danger Is My Business was his book. They went on, again, an expedition in the Caribbean, and they invented for that the self-swimming aqualung. So very similar to what Cousteau came out with 5 years later. But they were using it to shoot photograph fish down in the Caribbean. So that's kind of one of those innovations. The other thing that he did to go deeper was he built a rebreather diving suit. So a rebreather is, we still use them today. In fact, I was using them yesterday when I was in the field. But they are a recirculating device. So as you exhale, it goes through a scrubber material, which takes out the carbon dioxide and and then another mixture of gas, oxygen, and other bulking gas comes in, and it allows you to breathe. So they built this suit, this innovative suit, and then they were testing that, and in the testing of it, they discovered they needed to go deeper. And the Navy in 1924 had stopped doing testing on helium as a deep diving gas. Noel and a physiologist out of Marquette University had been working with, they'd been working with caisson workers. These are people that were working in the tunnels in Milwaukee. And so they had developed the bends, decompression sickness, the same thing that's happened with divers. And they were working on how to treat them. And in doing so, they had access to this chamber at the Milwaukee General Hospital. And so they began testing deep diving mixtures to be able to push the limits of diving. So a helium-oxygen combination. They figured out the tables, the timetables, the steps it takes you to come up to the surface. And to test that, they did a few workup dives, but then they got on a Coast Guard cutter. They went out to what they thought was going to be the deep diving limit, 360 feet of water. It turned out the charts were wrong, and they were actually in 420 feet. And Max went down to the bottom. He'd got below 360 and decided he was going to go for the bottom because he needed to prove he was that deep. So grabbed hit the bottom at 420, grabbed a handful of dirt, and came up. Meanwhile, Dr. Ed Grand, the physiologist, is on the boat, you know, with a slide rule, trying to extrapolate out these tables and figure out how to get this guy to the surface alive.
With decompression.
With decompression, yeah. So, and they're having to do the stops. And when he got him up, he had set the world deep diving record. And that stood for several decades.
We're talking to Tamara Thompson, maritime archaeologist at the Wisconsin Historical Society. She wrote the foreword for this new memoir of the late Max Jean Noel, a pioneer in the field of deep sea diving. It's called I Live Underwater. One of his projects later, before his life was cut short, was trying to bring up a ship from the bottom of Lake Michigan, the Prince Willem V, sunk in 1954, mm-hmm. I want to say. He didn't complete that. But that ship is in some ways a diving mecca in the United States.
Yeah, it's been on the bottom for a little bit over 50 years. So it draws divers from all over the country. It always makes the lists of places to dive in the United States, number one wreck dives, that type of thing. And we get people that come from all over. In fact, it's probably the most dived shipwreck in Wisconsin waters. It's really cool. It's this huge Dutch freighter that's laying on its side, stretched out on the bottom. You can reach the wreck at about 35 feet. And the main wreckage is really down about the 55, 60. So it's very accessible for beginning divers. And even if you wanted to go a little deeper, if you go back by the stern, where the name Prince Willem is still printed on the stern in Rotterdam, that takes you to about 80 feet. So it's very attainable for a lot of people. But Max saw that was very, very close to where he was living in Milwaukee. He put in a bid to raise it. On a technicality, the contract was to clear the area over the shipwreck so it wouldn't be a hazard to navigation. And he found that there was just this gangplank that was obstructing the navigation. So he removed the gangplank. And then through a series of lawsuits, because they didn't realize it was going to be so easy, obtained rights to own the ship. And then this whole series of failed attempts happen on how they're going to go about raising it with a series of balloons, with all kinds of pontoons inside. And then, as they were reorganizing and trying to make another attempt on it, Max was killed coming back from a vacation in Mexico.
Now, you're someone who dives for fun and for work as a profession. Same with Max. He was fascinated by the undersea world, but also very, very practically minded, it seemed like. Do you feel a kinship with this guy from half a century ago?
Oh, absolutely. So all of the things that, downturns in his career, I have parallels those two. So this rise and failure, this always constantly seeking adventure, wanting to find where the next cool thing is. I do feel a very close kinship with him.
Reading the work he was doing early on. Now, scuba sounds dangerous enough to me, someone who's never done it, and something you got to be really careful with. Now, he's at some points going with this helmet that his buddy made because he read about how to do it in a magazine. Is it harrowing to you as a diver who knows what the risks are to read about what he was doing?
Yeah, I don't know that I would take the instructions from Popular Mechanics and try to make myself a tin can helmet. But I don't think I'm that adventurous. But there's certainly some I don't know, something that makes me want to try it.
Okay. The book, your project to help get this book published is complete. You're holding in front of me actual finished copy. What do you hope people take away from Max's story?
That good things can happen to divers in Wisconsin. So it doesn't have to be that, you know, I thought when I learned to dive that I would have to constantly go on vacation to be able to get underwater and to seek adventure and to see cool things. There are so many cool things right in our backyard. Just open yourself up to that adventure. And this, you know, being in Wisconsin shouldn't be limiting. So for someone that wants to explore.
Tamara, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Tamara Thompson, maritime archaeologist at the Wisconsin Historical Society. She wrote the foreword for a new posthumously published memoir of Max Gene Knoll, a Wisconsin pioneer in the field of deep sea diving. That newly published book is called I Live Underwater, The Thrilling Adventures of a Record-Breaking Diver, Treasure Hunter, and Deep Sea Explorer.